Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read together with me one more time, won't you, this title of today's sermon, Hanging by a Thread, based both on the book of Job and today's epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to these two verses. First from Job 7. O Lord, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My days come to an end without hope. And from 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in him. Please follow your sermon outlines, especially today, as we consider our theme, Hanging by a Thread. My friends, let's be honest with each other this morning. Sometimes it feels like in your life, doesn't it? You're just hanging by a thread. That's an old expression which means your life is difficult. You can barely hang on. You can barely keep going. Hope is thin, like a thin thread of cloth, and you might feel like you are one thin thread away from despair. In the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 7, we find mention of a weaver's shuttle, a machine that's used to weave threads of cloth together to make clothing. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And Job uses this image to discuss three different threads that may describe your life today. These threads are listed in your sermon outline. Thread number one, life is tough. Life is tough like the days of hard labor. Verses 1 and 2, are not our days like the days of a hired man? As a slave who pants for the shade, a hired man who waits for his wages. The hard labor referred to in this text can either refer to the forced military service of an unwilling soldier or forced slavery without rest or without end. The hired worker, it says in the text, has no guarantee of even his wage after a hard 14-hour day in the sun. The worker is yearning for the evening shade of a tree that gives him rest. But the word shade in this text could also refer to the welcome relief that comes with death. Thread number one, life sometimes is just tough. Have you ever felt this? Thread number two, life is painful like infested and crusted flesh. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? Verse 5, my flesh is clothed with worms and crust of dirt. My skin hardens and runs. The image here is Job's body covered with worms, scabs, and dirt, so to speak, the trappings of death. It's a picture of somebody who is alive, but feels beat up or dead or all used up. Can you relate? Thread number three, life is quickly fleeting, like thread in a weaver's shuttle. Verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Here is an imaginative Hebrew wordplay. And say it with me, the Hebrew word is tikwa. Tikwa. Tikwa can be translated either thread or hope. Now, a shuttle is a small weaver's tool in a loom, a machine that makes cloth from threads. In the hands of a skilled weaver, the shuttle goes back and forth so very quickly. And so Job's wordplay, using the word tikwa, the same word for thread and for hope, declares this. Sometimes it feels like, doesn't it, our time is so short. We're running out of hope. It feels like we are hanging by a thread. Now, just as Job in Job chapter 7, and go home today and read that seventh chapter of Job, just as Job here shares three threads of suffering, he also shares, and it's on your outline, three responses to suffering. Response number one, cheap advice. Cheap advice from his so-called friends. In chapters 4 through 14 of the book of Job, we meet some so-called friends of suffering Job. These guys are wise guys, and they have all kinds of words of advice on how Job can deal with his own suffering. My friends, let's smarten up for a moment here. How easy it is for you and for me to give cheap advice to somebody else or to spout pious, biblical-sounding sayings when somebody else is suffering, when all they really need is not your words of advice, but a listening and caring ear. Now, Job's so-called friends come to him with many of their opinions of Job, this is why you're suffering, and this is what you should do about it. Have you ever gotten these kinds of words from somebody else? Has it really ever helped you? Not likely. And later in this book of Job, Job has a special name by which he refers to these people. He calls them my miserable comforters. Response number two to suffering, it's on your outline. Job's complaint directed toward God. Listen to what he says after his words about a weaver's shuttle. Job says, my eye will not again see good. Your eye that sees me will behold me no more. Your eye will be upon me, but I will not be. Therefore, I complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job says, hey, God, I'm really hurting here. Can't you see? Don't you care? My life is short and fragile. Are you even here with me? And soon comes my death, and I'll see no good, and no one sees me. And it seems to me you see all of this, God, and you just don't care. Have any of us ever felt like that? Yes, we have. This reminds me of two bumper stickers that I've seen in the back of vehicles. One is a little more crude than the other, but they both get the same message across. One said, life is tough, and then you die. The other one says, life's a bitch, and then you die. Here in the book of Job and elsewhere in the Bible, God's word pulls no punches. It says clearly that suffering people without a trust in God or believers who have separated themselves from God direct their anger and complaints to God as if it's his fault. Response number three to suffering. Do you see your outline? What is it? Job's turning to God. Listen to Job 7, verse 7. Job says, O Lord, remember that my life is but a breath. Up to this point, Job has been moaning about his situation and blaming God. But here he addresses God in prayer. Remember how weak I am, O God. Remember me, O God. Remember that I am lost in the middle of thousands of people in a foreign country in an airport. I have no idea where to go. Remember me, O God, because I feel like I'm hanging by a thread. Does God hear that prayer? He brings people who live blocks away from you in the same city in Canada to direct you where you're supposed to go. Now, Job in this text, so often like you and me, Job, like you and me, doesn't like his situation, doesn't understand his situation, but he did know that the only answer, the only strength, the only thread of hope would come from God and not himself. My friends, today, and I hope right now you are listening to this message, today Job speaks to every one of us who suffer in any way, hanging by a thread. School-age kids, God is speaking to you. Single young adult, God is speaking to you. Young married person, God is speaking to you. Middle-aged person, God is speaking to you. Retired person, God is speaking to you. Widow or widower, God is speaking to you, to me. Now, Bible scholars are not able to date when the book of Job was written. Bible scholars haven't even been able to figure out who Job really was. But that's okay. I suggest it's even a part of God's plan, because Job's words about hanging by a thread relate to all people at all times in all circumstances. Job can be seen as the ambassador for the anxious, or the representative of the righteous, in every time and every place, who turn to God in time of doubt or depression or despair. In Job, we see ourselves, and we see the word tikwa, hanging by a thread, clinging to God in hope. Okay, dear church people, now it's time for me to quit preaching and start meddling in your personal lives. You ready for this? Let's take off our Sunday morning masks, shall we? As we try to pretend that life is always great, always pain-free. With Job, at times, things are tough. Answers aren't easily found. Life sometimes hurts. With Job, our true hope, even if at times it feels like a thin thread, is that our dear Lord is with us, that He has always been with us, loving us, caring for us in ways we will not fully understand this side of heaven. That's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then in heaven we will see clearly." In the midst of our hanging by a thread, God does not go away. Let me say that again. In the midst of our hanging by a thread, God does not go away. In the words of Job, we also see our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, hanging by a thread. From Job himself, hear this cry of trust in his Savior. In the midst of his own pain, listen to words of Job. These words have been made into the most powerful hymn in the Christian church, a hymn we sing every Easter and almost at every funeral. The hymn is, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Job says in verse chapter 19, "Oh, that my words were written in a book. Oh, that my words were engraved in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, I shall see my God. I myself shall behold him." Our Redeemer, our Savior Jesus, is no stranger to suffering. And because he's no stranger to suffering, he will not abandon you when you suffer. On the cross, he paid the price for our sins to keep us from the eternal suffering of hell. On that cross, he defeated for us the powers of sin, death, and the devil. And what he did for me and for you. And just as our Heavenly Father did not forsake Job and does not forsake you, the Father in heaven did not forsake Jesus. But he rose him and raised him from the grave, that all who put their faith in him will rise on the last day as well. From today's reading from 1 Corinthians 15, listen to verse 20. This is in response to Job's word, "Sometimes I feel like I'm hanging by a thread." Listen to what Paul says. "But now Christ Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And that doesn't mean in church on Sunday. It means those who have died in the faith. First fruits, it says. He is the first fruits of those who trust in him. First fruits is a biblical expression. It means a guarantee. It means a sure promise that we can count on. What's the promise? The promise for you is that God's best for you is yet to come. Death will be turned into life. Despair will be turned into hope. My friends, we are not just hanging by a thread. Come what may. Are you listening? Come what may. The same hands of Jesus that were nailed to the cross, those same hands of Jesus that burst forth from the tomb, are the same hands holding on to you and you and you and me. We come to the end of our sermon for today. In a glorious book entitled Eating Life Cereal with a Spoon Bigger Than Most, the author Spencer Summers is an 18-year-old boy who knows that he's dying. He's not happy about dying, but he knows that heaven will bring him finally complete healing from this debilitating disease. He is hurting, but at the same time, he has an abiding trust in his Savior. He kind of reminds me of that man in the Gospels who said this to Jesus, "I believe, O Lord, but please help my unbelief." Right now, I'm asking each of you here to turn to your sermon outline. Turn to that sermon outline, to the end of the sermon outline. I'm going to read aloud to you as you follow the words an excerpt from that book, from this 18-year-old young man who is dying and still has faith in his Savior. "My spirit has been lulled lately by the sweet whispers of eternal rest. My eyes burn with exhaustion. I sleep too much but am never rested. Going up the stairs causes me to lose my breath, and every time I have to go to the bathroom, I sit because I don't know if I could stand up that long. It's been a misty, tiring couple of days. But in the midst of it all today, I could pray for the first time. It was the strength I needed, and I rejoice. For the battle has already been won. Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. I am healed. I call for health. I call for healing. Jesus has won. By his stripes, I am healed." My friends, today I ask you to leave this holy place today thinking about this young man, thinking about Job, and thinking about your present challenges. As you do that, please turn your eyes toward Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You who trust in Jesus are not just hanging by a thread. You are tied securely to a strong and loving Savior. Your Redeemer lives. In him alone is lasting hope and deep joy in the midst of all that life brings your way. All praise and honor and glory to his holy name. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.